Thank you for those songs, Willard. Be thou my vision. Don't we gravitate towards what our vision is? This morning I'd like to talk a bit about seeking after God, and if God truly is our vision, we will seek after him. I invite you to turn to Psalm 63. I'll be reading the first 8 verses. Psalm 63, and as I look at the life of David, you know, he has some psalms where it's just his heart is just craving after God. Then there are some psalms that aren't quite that way, and he's sort of in despair. Where are you, God? I don't know where you're at, but he usually ends up with, it's still right to trust in you. And so it's not that David always has this, in our terms, we would say a mountaintop experience spiritually where he's just hungering and thirsting. We see some of David's serious mistakes in life. But yet we have this man that is after God's own heart. And overall, he seeks after God. Psalm 63, starting in verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. He starts out with, O God, thou art my God. I think he's just saying, God, you are the one I worship. And he goes on, and I think he's simply saying, I'm willing to put energy and effort into seeking you. Early will I seek thee. That may mean limiting how late you sleep in, to get up and spend time reading the word and in prayer. And I don't think it's just getting up early, but I think the idea of putting forth effort to seek after God, it's practicing the spiritual disciplines. One definition of spiritual disciplines, it's activities undertaken to make us capable of receiving more of Christ's life and power without harm to ourselves or others. Now, in history, there have been people who practice disciplines that was almost abusive to themselves. We're not referring to that. It's simply activities undertaken to make us capable of receiving more of Christ's life and power. I'm willing to say no to some of the things that I really like in order to seek after God. It may be saying no to sleeping in. Sometimes it may mean saying no to a meal, to some food that I really like, but just simply saying, you know, I'm withdrawing from food and setting time aside to seek after God. It may be saying no to media for a day or a week. It may be turning off the phone for an hour so that you don't get interrupted. It may be turning off the music and simply being quiet before the Lord. But unless we are willing to put effort into seeking God, I don't think we'll be finding him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses, several verses I'd like to read there, and I'll read this from the NIV, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, Notice, because we are participants in the divine nature of God, and we have separated ourselves from worldliness, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And notice the list as it goes down here. It's fruits of doing the disciplines. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So I think here it's simply saying, Paul is saying, it takes effort to seek after God. It doesn't just happen automatically. And as we put in that effort, and we experience these qualities that it's talking about, it says, we will be effective and productive in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if we don't have them, we don't have good sight. We're not visionaries. God isn't our vision if we don't have them. And so if we're not willing to put in effort, I think it's reflective of not understanding what redemption is about. He has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So put forth effort to seek after God. Exactly how the word of God was in the time of David, I'm not sure. But in 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. There was no open vision. Samuel overlapped with David, and I'm not sure how readily available the written word would have been when David was writing some of this. But not long before that, the word of God was a rarity. It was precious. And so, when he's going on and saying, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Think of being in an arid situation. Sometimes we think we're rather dry and it's pretty arid around here. But I would dare say most of us haven't had a lot of experiences where we simply don't know where to get water for our next drink. Back in those days, the word of God was precious. And later on, when Josiah was king and they were cleansing the temple, when a copy of the law was found, there was a to-do about it. It went to the king and it was read to the king, and even the king wasn't aware of some of the things that had been written in the law. It was largely an oral tradition. And so when the word of God in print was found and it was read, the king's response of rending his clothes and repenting and calling the people to repentance. And I think that's the thing we see here in David. He's longing for this word of God. It's something precious. It's a rarity. It's not just readily available. And so when it is available, there's a thirsting after it. How many Bibles do you have in your house? We have quite a number of them. And sometimes when things become so familiar, just like water, you know, when has the last time been where you simply thought you're almost not going to make it because of lack of water? I'm not aware that I have ever experienced it, that I actually wasn't quite sure if I'm going to make it because of lack of water. And maybe in the same way, when the Bibles, the Word of God, is so readily available, it becomes so familiar that we sometimes lose the actual passion for it, and we at times don't realize the value that it has. Let's thirst after God. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. The NIV gives it, shall be satisfied as with the richest of foods. It's something nourishing, there's a lot of nourishment in this stuff. And it's satisfying. In Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But you know, when you're really hungry, at noon when you go home and you're hungry and you start eating, it satisfies. But for how long? You get hungry again. And I think it's in the same way as we seek after God. There's satisfying, it's filling, but there's a continued longing for still more. We get hungry again. In verse 8, "My soul followeth hard after thee." And there again, we just simply see this thing of putting effort into seeking after God. In 1 Chronicles 28, this was when David was handing the kingdom over to Solomon. And this was in front of the congregation of Israel, he made this statement. It says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." I think there was some physical things involved here where David was saying, Solomon, if you keep and seek after God's commandments, this land, Canaan, will remain within the Israelites' possession for generations to come. It's an inheritance for your children. I'd like to think, is there an inheritance that we leave for our children as we put effort into keeping and seeking after God's commands? I think there is. Doesn't mean they'll always make the same choices that we do. They can make better ones, by the way. But it's, do we leave a godly inheritance for our children coming after, that they can see our lives and say, that is what I want. That is the path I want to follow. And again, it doesn't happen automatically. So let's be willing to put forth effort this week into seeking after God. And in doing that, it's going to be saying no to some things that may be legitimate rights, so to speak. But we're willing to say no in order to seek after God. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, just thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, one who came and said no to the flesh to do the will of the Father. And help us to pattern our lives more and more after that example, to say yes to your will, to seek you with our whole heart. Lord, be our vision. Be the focus of our lives. And the things, the daily activities, pray that that would be an outworking of you being our vision. Direct our day. Just pray that our worship would be acceptable to you today, would be in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.